Coming up on 20 minutes after 8 o'clock. Sun shines here. The day just gets better and better. This first day of September. Welcome to Thursday. And as part of our Thursday talk round, of course, got to do all things Chinkabazoo.
And I'm running solo today.
With the curator, Tom Schmaltz.
Yeah, I'll run solo and get in trouble big time. It's a good thing she's in a meeting and she can't hear me, so we open it up.
I was going to say, how did she dare let you loose in here, just the two of us knowing what we might come up
I
with?
I think it was a hard decision for her.
Probably was.
On there. So I'm going to show you and let you read off. We're having a naming contest for the baby alpaca.
Okay.
And I'll let you, the end of the contest is Labor Day, and then whichever name gets the most vote is what we'll name the little girl alpaca. You got to come down and see her.
She's adorable.
About 25 pounds. She's just a big white fluff ball. And so these are the suggestions that were put out that we're having people vote on.
Okay, it's Elsie is number one, Belle number two, and then Ivory number four. And Akari, is that right?
Yep.
Akari is the number four name.
Yep. And you can vote. Go on Facebook. You can vote online for these names. And whichever name gets the most is what the new one will be. You know, the only bad thing about this, I'll never be able to trade her for a different female. Because the community will own her. And it's
right.
Like, oh, okay, she's always going to be here.
I never thought that's
okay.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, because talk about ownership in your local zoo. The community will. You know.
You know, they get to name her and it's going out. The votes are really streaming in and people are excited about it and they come down to look and then they go vote on their phones on Facebook and stuff. So it's a great thing for the community to get involved with.
Tom, when was she born?
She's 3 weeks old.
Okay.
So,
okay, just a youngin'.
Yeah, she's just a youngin' in there. And like I said, she's just this white little fluff ball on there. When she was born, she weighed 15 pounds, and it's just like, it was all legs.
Right.
All legs and wool.
Right.
Is what she was. So she's really cute. And we had a baby gibbon born. She will be 3 weeks old coming up. And it's a little female, and her mom, Effie, is great. When people are out there, I've seen her numerous times. She'll walk or swing, and she uses her hands and feet. She doesn't hang on to the baby. The baby's latched onto her, and she'll come over, and she opens her arms because the baby's attached to her chest, and people can see it. And
Mama's showing off.
Oh, Mama's showing off. This is her fifth baby, so she knows what she's doing, and people will watch her when she's swinging through the ropes. They go, how does it hang on? That little one has her hands and toes locked into the hair of Mom. She's not going anywhere. But Mom's getting to that stage where she goes, okay, you've been holding long enough.
Right.
She'll peel her off. She either looks at the father or her big sister and like, take it for a few minutes.
I need a break.
Yeah, and it's great for the big sister because her eyes get wide and it's like, no! You know, it's just like when we were little and they say, okay, you got to watch your little brother or cousin or whatever.
Mm, no,
no. It's slowing
no.
things down. Only in the gibbons, it's like, no, you're watching her.
So is that typical of primates too? The more kids they have, the more at ease and the more comfortable they get with them. Like the first one, they're probably more nurturing. And by the third or fourth one, it's just like, nah, I know what I'm doing here.
It's like humans do.
Okay.
You know, everybody in their first child is just so attentive to everything. By the time the second or third one, yeah, they're fine. They'll bounce off the steps.
So Mom's not a helicopter gibbon this time around.
No, she's not a helicopter gibbon. She's got this down. And this one is either it'll be a cinnamon or a blonde.
Okay.
It's a real light one. So, you know, it'll be either a little redhead, cinnamon color, or it'll be blonde like her big sister, Poppy.
Awesome. So tell us about the falcons down there, too.
Well, that yesterday we did the release, and we posted it on Facebook. U.S. Fish and Wildlife brought us a baby merlin, and we didn't know what it was when it came in because mm-hmm. it was a white fluff ball that had gotten kicked out of the nest up in Fargo. And they brought it down to us, U.S. Fish and Wildlife did, and they go, we don't know for sure mm-hmm. what it is. And at that stage, you couldn't tell. So Bruce and his wife, Melissa, Bruce is our educator, they said, we'll take her and we'll raise her. And they named her Greta. And yesterday she was to the point she was ready to release. And that's a hard thing when you've got your heart and soul into her. For 42 days they had her. And we put her on top of the levee. And Bruce released her, and she flew up in the air, and she made a circle around the zoo, and she took off. You know, it's a sad thing for them, but it was also a really uplifting thing to see something they had worked so hard and go back out into the wild. And that's what we're about.
Right.
All the birds in the zoo, all the bird of prey, the only reason they're there is because they can't fly.
Mm-hmm.
If they can fly, we turn them loose. This year, we've released 3 bald eagles and a couple hawks already, and then this falcon that U.S. Fish and Wildlife brings in. We rehab them and turn them loose on it.
How hard is it for you not to get attached to these birds?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty tough on it. And, you know, Bruce and Melissa put their heart and soul into Greta, and they had all kinds of pictures. And it was awesome for us. And they took her home, and she stayed at home until she got to the age where she didn't have to eat as often, and then brought her back down. And it's really tough when you stick that much time into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also such a great feeling when you can turn it loose. And we told the visitors that whoever wanted to come and watch, because we did it on top of the zoo, we said, you can come watch. And it was a great thing. And Kathy was videotaping it, and I looked over, and she's crying. And she goes, I didn't think I'd be that attached to it. But, you know, it's difficult, but it's a great thing. You feel good.
Right. And your raptor program, your rehab program down there, I mean, it's part of your mission. You've had great success with that over the years.
Oh, yeah. We've had really good success with it over the years. And U.S. Fish and Wildlife is great to work with. So they help with any way they can. And some of these birds, if they're adults and we get them in and can get them rehabbed, we try to take them back where they came from and release them. Owls we release at night, so it's not as dramatic for us. But if you release them during the day, every blackbird, crow, comes and just harasses them. So we release them at night and let them go. So, yeah, we're one of the keepers and Alyssa, they're working on a bald eagle, one that cannot fly, that she's made great progress with to get her up on a glove. So we'll have a new education bird coming up. But these are things that it's like, with training, it may take you 2 months to get one thing done.
Sure.
It's baby steps all the way, but it may have taken you 30 baby steps to get to that one thing. Even for Tal, people watch them and they go, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, there's years worth of training.
It's a process. It's not an event. It's a process.
Truly a process on it. And we have the keepers, when they start to be trainers, we'll have them play the training game where they leave the room, we decide what they want to do, and the only communication is a clicker.
Wow.
And then they go, yeah, that is hard. It makes you have patience with it.
Sure,
and take the baby steps.
Teaching people patience. I love that.
Yeah. Sometimes I need to be taught a lot more patience.
Hey, Tom, quickly here, as far as events, you got your Zoo Friends picnic coming up at the end of the month.
Zoo Friends picnic is coming up. I'm not positive on the day. And boy, you're getting me in trouble.
No. I've got it on my promo sheet for tomorrow. So naturally, I don't have that in here today. But we'll get the dates.
We'll get that. We're seeing a lot of visitors, which is cool to see. Visitation has been great, and we're getting a lot. But what we're seeing now, when the North Dakota kids went back to school, is Grandpa and Grandma and Mom and Dad bringing the younger kids that aren't in school.
Oh, sure.
They're coming down and get to spend special time, and it's great for you see these 3 and 4 year old kids that aren't in school, that during the summer when you'd see them, you know, big brother or sister was going, we're going this way and that way. Now they get to be the leader of the group. So it's really cool to see. We're seeing a ton of grandparents coming down with their kids.
Okay.
Which is really great. And then, you know, Minnesota, we get all those people. And attendance has been really good. Even after school started, it usually drops. Mm-hmm. No, it's been really good. And this weekend, the weather will be perfect.
Going to be perfect. And you got new hours, too, coming up, or revised hours.
After we're open 10 to 7 through Labor Day. The following Tuesday, we go to 10 to 4.
Okay.
So we slow up because the visitation slows up.
And then Carousel, too, is just going to be open on the weekends, correct?
Right. Carousel will be open on the weekends. And then if we get a special group and they happen to catch us and go, do you think you could open the carousel? I'll hear my radio going, Tom, where are you?
I love it.
Kathy is a big softie.
I love that. Tom, great to have you in here, my friend. Kathy's got to be worried now. I think you're going to steal her job.
Oh, no way.
Thank you so much, Tom Schmaltz. Enjoy the weather, and we'll talk next Thursday, all right?
Thank you.
You bet. Tom Schmaltz, curator, Jankaba Zoo. It's a morning zoo. We do this every Thursday, right around 8:20 here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning. Got a mostly sunny sky and a beautiful morning going on, 64 degrees. It's Thursday, September 1st. From the North Dakota Soybean Council News Desk, I'm Bill Dablow. It's 8:30. Good morning. University of North Dakota President Andrew Armacost says human remains of ancestral Native Americans were discovered on campus earlier this year. Armacost disclosed the discovery during an online discussion with UND alumni Wednesday morning. He called the finding terrible news and traumatic and offered an apology to the meeting's participants. He says the university will work closely with tribal representatives and follow cultural protocols to ensure the remains are properly treated. The remains were found along with artifacts inside a closet. UND administrators were notified immediately. It's not clear why it took several months for UND to disclose the discovery. Armacost will hold a virtual news conference Wednesday afternoon when more information is expected to be released. Minnesota-based Polaris issued a stop riding and stop selling order affecting over a quarter of a million of its snowmobiles. Officials say they're cooperating with federal officials on a likely recall and will provide free repairs once the fix is fully tested. Company warns of a fire hazard from degraded fuel and gas tanks, particularly after extended storage. Polaris says the problem has resulted in 30 gas tank ruptures, 16 fires, and one reported injury. KBMW News is brought to you this hour by Red River Communications, and they remind you to go faster with fiber.